The title of my message today is He Gave Thanks. And it's about Thanksgiving. It's a message about helping us understand gratitude in a new way. And I'd like to kind of start this off today by a little video. And, you know, this video is a good reminder of what goes on in our world today. So sources tell me that we have a little problem with materialism in the United States. And I think this short video will help you understand how bad it can be at times.
If you think shopping in the sale is bad, you should see Black Sunday in the States. That is Walmart in Fort Worth, Texas, hunting for bargains soon descended into violence. As fights between shoppers erupted in the aisles, bystanders took pictures and videos. At one point, a security guard can be heard yelling to customers to get back. Black Friday is the biggest American shopping day of the year, held on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Pushing and shoving aside, Walmart reported record-breaking sales.
So you guys get the idea, right?
That's a relatively tiny sum, honestly.
Yeah, it is. I had to get one that was somewhat clean.
Yeah.
Some of the other videos I watched were not so clean. It's a problem. Yeah. I mean, granted, this is an exaggeration of every day in America, but notice who's giving the commentary here. It's somebody from the UK. And this happens to be in Fort Worth, Texas, of all places, right? So it's like, oh my gosh. So this is how the rest of the world perceives us. Pretty bad. So many of you know my story, that this was my life. I was about pursuing material things in my life. And job success, money, things, they were all very important to me at one point in my life. And then I came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he began to show me how less important those things really are. And he began to teach me to be thankful for the small things in life as I began to lose all the things that I had built up in my lifetime. A lot of money, a lot of possessions, all out the door. And it gave me a moment to really thank God. I thanked him for those things leaving because I was attached to him. Excuse me. And I began to give thanks for the wrong things in life before I met Christ. If I didn't get a certain thing, I was upset, I was bitter, and that's what materialism leads us to. It leads us into this life of chaos. We're pursuing things that perish. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what you're going to have tomorrow and what you're not going to have tomorrow. It is a sandy foundation, if you will. It is not solid ground, and it will fool you every time. And what I learned about materialism is the more you have, the more you want. The more you have, the more you want. And that is a vicious cycle to be in. And the more we have, the less we begin to be thankful for the small things in life. When I remember sitting in this living room and praying as all my furniture's gone, everything in the house is gone, my house is going on the market, I remember saying this to God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for my family. Thank you for Jesus Christ. I don't care about any of this other stuff. Those things matter. And that was a profound moment for me. My heart changed, my attitude changed, and I at that point in time in my life, I said, anything I have, Father, is yours. It's not mine, it's yours. I'm going to use it to glorify you any way I can. And I'm telling you, my life changed. And that's really what my message is about today, is looking at the small blessings in life and being thankful for those. Not the big things, the small things. The small things are what really matter. In hindsight, You know, what are some of the small blessings maybe in your life that you're very thankful for? I know for me, Cindy, it's my girls, it's my grandkids, it's my parents, my family, my in-laws. Those aren't small things, but compared to the material world we're in, those things matter more than anything else. One thing God told me is relationships count. Relationships above anything else. Those are the things we need to hold on to and cherish. As I was preparing this week, I learned an interesting thing about Jesus, the Son of God. That he demonstrated a genuine gratitude for the small things in this life. And that's what I want to focus on today. If you guys have your Bibles, would you turn to the Gospel of Matthew? And we're going to be in chapter 26 today. Oh, sorry, Cindy. I would have offered you one, but I think you left before. And I also have an event on YouVersion today on the Bible app. There's an event under the Well Church if you want to go there as well. Chapter 26 of the Gospel of Matthew. So Matthew, beginning of our New Testament, Matthew 26. And this is an interesting text that I chose to use today because it's about the Lord's Supper. It's about communion. But there's something very significant that happens in this communion that we often skip over. And I want to spend some time on that today. So, Matthew 26, we're going to look at verses 20 through 28. And as a customary thing that I do here, I ask for a volunteer to read those verses. So, go ahead, Kim.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." Then they were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who..." Oh, my goodness. Hit a button, sorry. Sorry.
That's right.
Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him to have been born, not to have been born, than Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'You have said so.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and then he had given thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'"
Thank you so much, Kim. So the reason I picked this text is there are three accounts in all of the Gospels. Only two Gospels cover one of the accounts, where you see Jesus giving thanks and breaking bread. The Lord's Supper is one of them. Feeding of the 5,000 is another, and feeding of the 4,000 after that was the third. And I started to take notice to that here you have Jesus, the Son of God, in with his 12 disciples, all sitting at this table together. Jesus takes a piece of bread, and he breaks, and he looks to heaven, and he gives thanks. He gives thanks. Now, what seems like a very simple thing that took place here, many of us take for granted. Here, Jesus had a piece of bread, and he was giving thanks to the Father. And why? Because he knew that that was God's provision, that God had provided that bread, God the Father. So here you have God the Son thanking God the Father for this meal they're about to have. A small thing, and Jesus gave thanks. Jesus always showed gratitude to the Father. Gratitude. And I found that very interesting. Jesus was a model person that we are to follow. He didn't come on earth just to die for our sins. Yes, that was his main mission, was to pay the price for our sins so we could be reconciled. But he was showing us a model way to live here on earth at the same time. And here you have God incarnate, if you will, who was a divine person, gave up his divinity to be fully human. He was fully God. He was never not God. He was fully God. But he gave up his divine abilities to walk this earth in humility and to show others how gracious God is. And he was showing that he was thankful for the smallest things. The smallest things. Now, I think of that, and I think of our world today. And when I think of these two concepts and compare and contrast, today what I see is something called entitlement. We have raised a generation that has this entitlement attitude. I deserve this, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It's a very selfish attitude. We see all kinds of issues where people aren't willing to do their part in this world that we live in. They expect everything to be given to them. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody, but in general, we're seeing that more and more in this world. And of all the people that I think really had an entitlement, it was Jesus Christ. If anybody in this world was entitled, it was Jesus Christ. Jesus was sinless, he was selfless, he was still sovereign, and he suffered greatly. I think he earned the right to whatever he wanted, not to mention that he could speak and things took place. But yet we have this entitlement attitude, and the Son of God never did. He was thankful for the small things, and he recognized God's goodness that God provided. And he gave thanks. He had a heart of gratitude. You never saw Jesus take on this entitlement attitude, ever. There are so many places in Scripture where you look at it and go, Jesus, you could just call down your angels and be done with this. He never took that path. He never considered himself above others. He put others above himself. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. And the thing that I loved about this text is that it shows that Jesus never took the Father for granted. How many dads here would love to see that with your kids? They never take me for granted. The Bible said in Hebrews 1:4 that Jesus became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So Jesus is the supremacy of God incarnate over all creation, over all things, holds all things together, and he never showed this entitlement attitude. He was always thankful. He showed a heart of gratitude to the Father. What's really interesting to me is that he was thankful even in his suffering. Thankful in his suffering. We're thankful until something comes our way that knocks us down, right? And then we start getting mad. We try to figure out, okay, what did I do wrong? Did I tick God off? Is God trying to punish me for some reason? And the answer is no, he's not. Life happens. We all go through suffering. I talked about that last week, but Jesus was thankful even in his suffering. Heart of gratitude. He gave thanks at this Last Supper, knowing that his body was going to be broken. He takes this bread that represents his broken body and he gives thanks. That's kind of mind-blowing. It's almost like saying, thank you for whipping me. Thank you for nailing me to the cross. He gave thanks knowing his blood was about to be shed. Not for anything he did wrong, but for what you and I did wrong. He gave thanks knowing that he was about to be betrayed. Anybody ever been betrayed before?
2 times.
That's hurtful, isn't it? I mean, somebody you had a relationship with did something on purpose to betray you. He gave thanks knowing he was going to die on the cross. Jesus showed gratitude. There's no question about it. He showed gratitude. He showed sincere appreciation for the little things the Father provided. You see, when we recognize who God really is, that He's merciful. God is very merciful. God is gracious, full of grace. God is loving. He cares more about you and me than we will ever understand. When we begin to get that understanding of who God is, then in our times of affliction, maybe we can give thanks the way Christ gave thanks. I often look at the Apostle Paul, and if you've never studied the Apostle Paul, it's an amazing story. The missions he went on were never easy. Never easy. There was always some type of trial that he had to face in his missionary journeys. He talks about being shipwrecked. You can read the story of him being shipwrecked. He had to be lowered in a basket running for his life. He was beaten to death and left outside the city walls. He was imprisoned several times, and even in prison he gives thanks and praises God. And his shackles. He understood who God was. He recognized that, hey, I'm the worst of sinners, and God loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. That's worth His praise, honor, glory, and thanks. And that's the attitude Paul always had. God alone is worthy of our praise and our honor. Now, when we talk about entitlement, it is a very dangerous attitude. If you look at the courts today, the civil courts, you know how long it takes to even get a case in front of a judge because of the frivolous lawsuits? I bought coffee, it was hot, I spilled it on my lap, I'm going to sue you. I'm entitled to something because I spilled coffee on my lap. It's ridiculous. I'd be embarrassed to go into court with that, honestly. I can just picture the arguments on both sides. Sir, did you happen to think that coffee might be hot? Did it ever occur to you if you take the lid off and you tip it a little too far and it spills on you, you're probably going to get burned? I mean, these are common sense things, but yet we have this entitlement attitude. I'm going to sue you over that.
That's why only adults drink coffee.
We are entitled to basic human rights. There's no question about it. There are violations of that every day, and it breaks my heart. We all have basic human rights that we are entitled to. When it comes to putting self above others, that's when we begin to have a problem, and it's a sign of a lack of gratitude. This is not the Christian attitude, by the way. Entitlement is not something that we should have in our hearts. Like Christ, we've come to serve, not be served. We've come to help those that are in need, not take from them. The thing that reminds me so much that we're not entitled to anything is Romans 3:23. This verse just gives me shivers because it's so true. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Since the time Adam and Eve got banned from the garden, this has been the problem of the human race. And I haven't met a single person yet that will argue that. Say, no, I've never sinned. We are born under this sinful nature. And the writer of Romans is very clear to point that out. And then he goes on to say in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. If you put all that together and you build a little formula, okay, so if all have sinned, that includes me, if all of us have sinned, and it says that the wages of sin equals death, then what we're truly entitled to is what?
Death.
That's what we're entitled to. We're entitled to the pit. Because we have broken God's holy law. Here's the good news. Romans 6:23 continues. It says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So even though that is what we're entitled to, a gift comes along, not something that we deserved. It's a gift. It's somebody that says, you didn't deserve this. I'm giving it to you because I want you to have this. Because of that gift, we've been set free from that penalty of death. And when you look at it that way, you start to have a change in your heart. You start to be thankful for what God did on the cross. And when I started to lose everything around me, that hit me hard. I'm like, who am I to complain? I deserve the pit of hell. That's where I should be. But God gave me a gift. He rescued me through what His Son, Jesus Christ, did. And that's something to be thankful for. This life is short. The things we accumulate in this life will be gone. Now, this is kind of a sad little story, but my parents are getting up there in age. They're in their late 80s. And I've noticed that we're getting more and more stuff delivered to our house that came from my parents' house. I want to make sure you have this. I want to make sure you have that. And it's a reminder that that stuff lasts for a short period of time. Then all that stuff you've worked for and accumulated starts getting distributed. Is it worth it? Can we not be content with the things that God has provided for us and praise Him for those things? Now, we've all heard the term counting our blessings. Anybody not heard that term? Maybe you're young. I don't know if that's a term they even say today. Count your blessings. Have you ever tried to do that? I bet it's a big number, huh? Can't sleep at night. They count sheep, start counting your blessings. See how that adds up. We need to learn to focus our lives on the small blessings in life. If we're chasing the material world, it's a letdown. It is. Things break. I always got to have the newest and coolest gadget, and I find out, oh, there's something missing on this. I need to get a different one. Right, iPhone 55. You wait in the line at Best Buy from 2 in the morning on Thursday until Saturday morning to get that $10 off your iPhone 10.
You need to go home and find it on cheaper.
Right. A week later, you see them on eBay going like for 10 bucks. We need to learn to show gratitude for those small things. Those are the things that matter. Like I said early on, relationships are the most important thing you can have. God designed us to be relational. He designed us to be in covenant with one another and with Him. And when we start to put that on the back burner and lower that priority, then what we're really chasing are personal material things, things that gratify us. And not having that deep relationship with each other, we're missing out. We're missing out on these blessings that God can give us through these relationships. We need to learn to show gratitude as Jesus showed gratitude. Took the little piece of bread and He gave thanks. You take some of the stuff so for granted at times. You know, we have a house full of food right now. I remember there was a time where I didn't. I remember there was a time I was digging through my coin boxes to come up with enough money to feed my family. And I look back at those times, and those times reminded me of how good God is. Going through those rough times sometimes is a blessing, believe it or not. Because it helps you to look back and realize just how good God is. He says he's going to take care for your needs. And if you're all sitting here, obviously he has. May not be the things that we really desire. I'm still waiting for my new Shelby to show up from God, but he hasn't quite provided that yet. I'm just kidding. I've not asked God for a Shelby. No.
Did you ask him for a plane?
That was a long time ago. I feel guilty as can be driving the Mustang I have now. You imagine me in a Shelby?
I'd be a wreck.
I'd be a wreck. I'm like, I should not be driving this car.
It was actually less expensive than mine.
I don't spend money on cars. Think about the air we breathe. That is a gift. That is a gift. The food we have, even if it's a portion, it's food, you're being taken care of. We need to give thanks for those things. If you've ever had an opportunity to go to a third world country, I went to Malawi 2 years ago, a year and a half ago now. And I loved it there. I loved the joy. You see the materialism here in the U.S. You go to a place that's just barely trying to make it as a country. And they're so thrilled just to have a small meal. I didn't see kids with toys. No toys. And these kids were happy. They were all about relationships. They worked together, they held on together, they prayed together, and there was joy in their lives.
The difference is you don't see the prayer circles that you see there here.
You don't see a lot of things here. We take everything for granted. If I can't cut it, I can fill out a few forms and somebody's going to take care of me. We have it made here. We have a surplus. We have a surplus. Not only can our needs be met, but other needs be met out of that surplus. And I've said this before, as long as there's a middle class, there's going to be atheism. Think about it.
Because there's no dependence
on God. That's absolutely right. We become self-dependent. We become gods ourselves. I don't need you, God. I've got everything taken care of. And then when the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, what are you going to do? We need to be thankful for these little things, guys. We need to be thankful for the relationships we have. I've done some stupid things in my life. I've made some bad mistakes. And the good news is, people love me regardless. Think about that. Anybody here perfect?
God replaced my entire family. I'm nowhere near.
It's a world of grace that the Christian lives in. It's a world of gratitude that the Christian lives in. We need to be thankful, and most of all, we need to be thankful for God. For his grace, his forgiveness. That's an area that I could do a month of sermons on forgiveness. We're so quick to hold a grudge against somebody else, and yet God forgave us like that. We need to be thankful for God's unfailing love and the gift of Jesus Christ. We need to be content with what we have and recognize God's provision. God provided all of the things we have. Everything good is from above, what the Bible says. Hebrews 13:5. And I'm going to read this. It's on our YouVersion, but I'm going to move us along. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's where my heart was. I was a lover of money. Never content. Got to rise up, be the top dog. I remember doing everything I had to do to meet my goals. Got hurt, well, that's part of business. That's what we say, business is business. It's not personal. Yeah, it's very personal a lot of times. If there's a person involved, it's personal. I think we need to go beyond contentment and learn to just rejoice with Thanksgiving. Not be content, but be thankful. Content means I'm at peace with what I have. I'm at peace with it. It's cool. But when we really look at what God has provided in our life, we need to go beyond being content and be grateful and thankful to God for what we have. Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ. Since as members of one body, that's us, members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. If you don't have that peace in your heart, it's hard to be thankful. Jesus Christ is the only one that can offer you that true peace. If there is strife in our heart, if there is something we are combating, it's very possible you're not letting Christ in. You're not letting Christ into your heart to fix those areas in your life. Maybe we're holding on to things that need to be let go of. If you've never felt that real peace of Christ in your heart, it is profound. There's nothing like being settled in the peace of Christ. All the chaos going on around you, you could be in the middle of the chaos I just showed on that screen and be at peace if you really have a relationship with Christ. Once you find that, and you've really learned who Christ is, and you've developed a relationship with Him, you begin to realize that none of this stuff around us matters. I'm thankful why I have it, it can go, and I'm still going to be okay. The one thing I need is Christ. And that is what I am thankful for. None of this stuff matters, guys. It's all going to perish. It's all going to perish someday. The relationships are what matter.